Good morning. One of my professors at school, his name is Dr. Philip Simon. He's kind of well known, but if you don't know him, that's all right. He tells a story of when he was teaching a class. And in the middle of his lecture, a student rudely interrupts by coming in late. Now, this isn't too uncommon for this student because he was often late. Well, noticing that Dr. Simon is talking negatively about sin, the student blurts out, "You're wrong, Professor. Sin is fun." Caught a little off guard, Dr. Simon takes a couple moments to come up with his response. "You're right." Now it was time for the class to be taken off guard. Satan makes sure that sin is fun. But let me contrast the kind of fun Satan offers with the kind of fun Christ offers. Dr. Simon then went into an explanation of how sin leaves a bad taste in the mouth afterwards, and the next morning, a spiritual hangover. This type of fun doesn't last very long. It's temporary. And then in the end, Satan comes to exact his wages. The wages of sin is death. Jesus, on the other hand, his fun leaves a good taste in our mouth. And in the end, Christ comes along not to take from us life, but to give us eternal life. After this, Dr. Simon appealed to the students to use their gift of choice to side with the winner, Jesus, and to reject the loser, Satan. And 24 of his students stood up for Jesus, including the one who had earlier interrupted his class. The book of Romans is a phenomenal book. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And the reason why is because it discusses how through Christ, God judges sin and yet at the same time manifests his saving mercy. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's chapter 3, verse 23. And it also tells us that the wages of sin is death, chapter 6, verse 23. But what's so amazing about this book is in the very same breath, the Bible tells of how, the book of Romans tells of how Christ made a way for us. It says in chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ paid the wage of our sin by dying for us. And therefore, we are justified by faith. We have to have confidence and faith that he made this sacrifice for us. And one way that we live out this faith in our lives is through the act of baptism that you just saw. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 3. We're going to read together verse 3 through verse 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. It says, starting with verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us so that we could have life. But there's still a type of death that the sinner has to undergo. This is the death to sin. The entire act of baptism symbolizes this death that the sinner undergoes in order to embrace the gift of life. Going under the water, like you just saw, five people do, going under the water is a death to the life of sin that we lived before. And this is the crucifixion of that old self that the passage just got done talking about. Now, those of you who might have been reading from the King James Version says, crucifying that old man. The one I read said old self, but some of yours might have said old man. There's a song that was written by a group named the Ottos. That's their last name. They're in Australia, and they're an Adventist musical group. And they've titled their song, Goodbye, Old Man. And it's a really powerful song. It fits very well with not only this passage, but another passage in Colossians. And I'd like to read you the words. Listen to this. I thought I walked in liberty. I thought your treasures would make me happy. They were the very things that bound me. Goodbye, old man. You promised you had what would fill me, though they were the very things that robbed me, leaving my heart completely empty. Goodbye, old man. Goodbye, old man. I hope not to see you again. I don't want to be your friend. Goodbye, old man. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. With you, I never did have fun. Goodbye, old man. God gave him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might be reconciled to our Father now. I am in Christ, and in Christ I am free. His law is the law of liberty. Goodbye, old man. I hope not to see you again. I don't want to be your friend. Goodbye, old man. Oh, the memories with you I've had too many, but you will have no more with me. Goodbye, old man. Just as going down into the water simplifies that death to that old man, that old self that lived in sin, the rising up out of the water is the baptism into the resurrection of the newness of life that we have with Christ. This is the life that he has designed specifically for us to have, but we have to choose it. There's something scary about death. Sir Francis Bacon, an English scientist, says, I do not believe that any man fears to be dead, but only the stroke of death. Woody Allen, a comedian, says, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Just as physical death can be scary, death to sin can be scary for some people. The idea of living a new and wonderful life is not the scary part. The scary part comes with making that decision and cutting those ties to the old life we used to live. Someone once said, what the caterpillar thinks is the end of life, the butterfly thinks is just the beginning. Making a choice to die to the life of sin might be hard because that life of sin seemed fun and free. But the life in Christ is true freedom and is more fun, genuine fun. It is that sin that entraps us. Today, you witnessed a miracle, an amazing thing. Five people either choosing to rededicate themselves or choosing to dedicate themselves for the first time to Christ. And today, they publicly displayed that for all of you. Baptism, as well as a public display, is also a choice to live with Christ. Baptism is an ordination to the ministry of all believers. All who receive the life of Christ, we are to ordain to the work of salvation with our fellow man. All those who join the church by baptism, therefore, enlist themselves in a ministry of the gospel. And right now, we are going to take some time to welcome these people into not only our church family, but into the ministry of all believers as we work towards spreading the gospel. So I'd like to invite Pastor Walter up.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. You ready to have some new members in this church? I'm going to invite all the ones that were baptized, if you could come up. Yes, Terry and Mackenzie. Why don't you stand over here, because we're really grateful to be able to... Brian, we also have their baptismal certificates that we want to give to you, Mackenzie and Harold. And Rod. The baptism was subject to, well, they want to be members here. And so I told them, I can't make this decision. It's the church that makes this decision. So is there a motion that we accept them as members here at Valley View? Is there a second? Yes. And all those in favor say amen.
Amen.
And if you're not, you can walk out the door. We do have also this morning, see, our Valley View family continues to grow, and I'm going to invite Max and Jean and Pastor Sarah. You're already here. So if you could come over here, Jean Rehenkamp and Max Peak, would you please come up here? We also have to take care of a little business also, because they had requested to transfer in from other churches. And this morning, we want them officially transferred in. And Max, we want that for you. And Jean. Pastor Sarah helped me with all the bags, and she didn't make one for herself, so I had to go and make one for her. Now, is there a motion that we accept? This is Max Peak, Jean Rehenkamp, and Pastor Sarah. Is there a motion that we accept them as members here at Valley View? Is there a second? All those in favor say amen.
Amen.
You're helping Valley View to grow from here to here, here to here. We're just glad you're still here. God bless you. And this is the family that will help you to continue to grow. And if you have any questions, they're there to help. I'm here to help as we continue to do what the Lord has asked us to do. And for those of you that have transferred in, thank you for choosing Valley View. We will continue to do all we can to minister to all of your needs. And thank you for being here. Pastor Sarah has been a great help for me. And I know that she will continue to do so. Thank you very much. God bless. And let's continue to worship. God bless. Please say hello to them. Shake their hands. Give them a hug. And if I don't see any of you giving them hugs...
Dr. Simon, my professor, he tells another story. He tells of a boy who was once committed to God and was preparing for the ministry. In order to impress a girl, this boy began making some poor choices. He compromised his virtue, his devotion to Christ, and his commitment to the ministry. When Dr. Simon confronted this young man on these poor choices, the boy simply explained his reasoning. He said, "Nothing is wrong with making a wrong decision, as long as you make a decision, even if it goes against God's word. For God is so unconditionally loving and accepting, regardless of anyone's disobedience, that he will always be near and will always bring us back to him at some point in time. In the meantime, this young man wanted to live recklessly, living a life of fun, presuming that God would work everything out for the good. Tragically, he and his girlfriend were killed in an automobile accident the very next day, drinking and driving. God does give us freedom of choice, the choice between life or death. Sin is fun, but living is more fun. Don't sit on the fence and keep from making a choice, because you'll never know what tomorrow will bring. There's no better time than now. Some of you out there in this congregation have made the choice to serve God, and I am so excited for that. Some of them made it today. Well, they probably made it before, but today is when they showed the world that they had made that choice. Some of you out there maybe made the choice in the past and let that old man come back and infiltrate your life, that old man of sin. And some of you maybe have never made that step yet. You might be sitting on the fence, thinking that somewhere down the road, God will bring you around to making that decision. There's no better time than now. And so that's why right now I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a choice. I want to invite you that if you are one of those who has made the choice in the past and have let that old man of sin come back in, I'm going to invite you to be able to recommit your life to God. If you've never made the decision before, now is the best time to do so. Take the example of those who were baptized today. And if you are someone who wants to either be rebaptized, like Rod was, or if you want to be baptized for the first time, I invite you to talk to Pastor Walter or myself, and we'll start the baptismal process. If you would like to make a choice to live instead of die, a choice to serve God who paid the price for our sins, I invite you to stand up right now. God is so good to us. He died while we were yet sinners. He died for us so that we could have life. He died the death that we deserve so that we could have the life that he deserves. That's amazing. Thank you for making a choice for him today. You may sit down. And now let's all stand together as we sing our closing hymn, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Number 327 in your hymnals. Number 327. This world.
than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of fairest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the womb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Before we have prayer, I'm going to just ask if you would sit down. This rather, I'd rather have Jesus is what I heard a lot of the candidates, those that were baptized, that's what they wanted to say. This morning, Terry, her heart is overjoyed. And she wanted to share something with us. Terry, come on up. Share with us.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to my new family. I don't come from a religious family or background, and the first time I ever went to church was when I was 10, and I brought myself. And the reason I got on that bus is because they gave me a big old fat candy bar. And if that's what it took to get me to God, then I'm all right with that. But I didn't come from a religious background. I did hear God's name a lot, but it was always in vain. And so I knew of Him, you know, I've heard of Him. And at 10, I sought Him, and I really enjoyed church. I actually listened to the sermon when I was there. I don't know a lot of 10-year-olds that do that. But God touched me, even though I didn't know who He was. And so from that point on, I searched for Him, and I grew up in a pretty messed up family, abuse, and just very dysfunctional. But I'm proud of my background because it made me who I am. And God was with me every day. I prayed to Him. I prayed for the abuse to stop. I prayed for just to be normal. And He was with me. You know, I felt protected. And I kept searching. 30 years I searched. And I went to many churches. And I walked through the front door, and sometimes I'd feel like, oh, what am I doing? I'm out of here. And sometimes I'd sit and listen to the pastor, and I'd feel like I couldn't hear him. Like, who's he talking to? But the day I walked into this church, I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt God here. And I just want you to know that I know God lives here. I know God presides here. And I know because I have seen handfuls of miracles just in our Sabbath class. And I want to acknowledge that in a world where we're so sinful, even though, I mean, that was something I learned here in Sabbath. I came thinking, I'm not worthy. You guys are all so much better than me. And I held you up. And I got here and I sat down and Jean Gren and Dawn and you know, all these deacons and high people in the church, which I had no idea how a church ran. I didn't know that there was anyone besides the pastor, you know. So I walk into this class all alone. Miss Walker was with me. She had to teach the children. So I went in by myself and sat down. And I never felt so at home ever. In my own home, I didn't feel that welcome. And they greeted me with hugs, and they shook my hand. And I'm a beginner in the Bible. I'd never even opened one before. I've never read the Word. And I asked questions that your four-year-old would ask. And they didn't laugh at me, and they didn't make fun of me, and they didn't judge me. They graciously answered my question and made sure I understood. And that's what this church is all about. This church, God's here, and I see it shining in people's eyes. And it starts the minute you walk in that door. They stick their hand out, and they say, Happy Sabbath, and with a big old smile. And you know that you're really welcome here. And then you walk through here, I have to walk through here, and people will wave and smile, and it just warms my heart. And I walk in the room, and same thing, Jean's got a hug for me, or Dawn, or, I mean, it's just, it's such a perfect church. Really, God is here. And I just wanted to let you all know that I thank you because you are right where God wanted you to be, at least on my path to Him. Every single one of your smiles and your hugs and your handshakes got me here, got me there, and brought me to Him. And I thank you for that. And I acknowledge that because I know that God must be so, so pleased with your work. So in a world full of sin, where we think all we do is sin, you guys did please God today. And I thank you so much for being there for me.
So. Welcome home, Terry. Welcome home. Pastor Sarah.
Oh, praise God, right? Well, let's pray before we close this service today. Dear Lord, thank you so much for testimonies like the one we just heard. It helps us to have courage knowing that you are with us, that you are in this building and with the members of this church, Lord. But it also is a challenge to keep up that friendliness, the openness, the welcoming to people who are just coming in for the first time, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those who are baptized today. Guide them, help lead them closer and closer to you, and help their light to shine to those around that need to see it. Help us who witness these baptisms to be encouraged and to be able to be uplifted, to share the message of you with others that still need to make that decision. And Lord, for those that made the decision for the first time or the recommitment today, Lord, please help them not to be discouraged this next week, but to be encouraged by you that they made the right decision for life and a life with you. Thank you so much for your sacrifice, Lord. Thank you so much for your love. And in your name I pray. Amen.